Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Holy Try Football Podcast, Week 8 review. What a week it was. You know, they always say it delivered again. It's me, AY, here coming to you from the beautiful state capital, Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Check us out on Twitter, HolyTryFootball at gmail.com. HolyTryFootball is the email address at Gmail. The Twitter account, I'm losing it. In recovery mode from the weekend. Hang with us here, guys. At West, just saw him yesterday. The whole crew actually got together. D-Bird, what's up, man?
Just when you thought you had hope, Syracuse. Pitt goes on a 9-minute and 20-second drive to win the game, featuring a fake punt. The Stones on Pat Narduzzi. Impressive.
Narduzzi.
The game as a whole, not so impressive.
The Nard Dog.
The Riverboat Dog.
The R Dog. And to my northeast, New York City, Ken, what's up, man?
Long weekend, long successful weekend down in the greater Baltimore and Washington, D.C. areas. Thanks for everybody I saw. Made the weekend fantastic time.
Yes, it was a good weekend. We got to meet up, do a little bit of gating. Dan and I, like we said off in a production meeting, lived our living nightmare of being in a very hot, overcrowded 98% Penn State bar watching the second half of that game. But we had a cheerleader with us. That was fun to, he was entertainment. Cam was at the game. Viewing yesterday, very, very limited. But you know what? Once in a while that happens, he's got to roll with it. So may not be the most insightful pod, but good thing we have some breaking news, a lot of news to get to. So let's get some news and notes quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
I think the main piece of news, guys, that broke today was Al Golden finally out. Initial reactions, Ken.
Tough to see a Penn Stater go out that way, but I think the writing was on the wall here, and the final nail in the coffin was the embarrassing loss yesterday suffered to Clemson. I have faith that Al will land on his feet, but it was clear his time in Coral Gables had come to an end. I think it's best for both parties to go their separate directions. You hate to see any of this happen mid-season. I hate mid-season firings, but that is a little too much, this final straw.
Yep, well-timed. If you're not going to do it now, then when? Just get the process going. Bring back Randy Shannon. Oh, wait.
Bring back Butch Davis. Oh, wait.
Yeah, rumblings of... I haven't really heard Shannon, but possibly. Oh, Butch Davis, for sure.
They shouldn't have a problem. They're the Miami Hurricanes. They should be able to pick whoever they want.
Mario Cristobal, perhaps.
Yeah.
Kiffin, perhaps.
Big Bill Muschamp, perhaps.
Bill Muschamp.
P.J. Fleck.
Bill Muschamp went there.
I was talking to my buddy who works in the Miami athletic office, and I texted him this morning to go fire out, and he said, without a doubt, needs to be done, and he got his wish. No one down there is happy, but I wish Al the best. I just love his shirt and tie on the sidelines.
Yep, that's for Joe Pa. Poor Joe Paterno.
Company man.
Company man. You saw Warren Sapp was upset about it, though. He said, I don't know why he doesn't have a single U on his chest or... It is close.
Him and Leon Searcy, some former alums, Brian McKinney, tweeting their displeasure yesterday. They got their wish.
Needed to be done.
Yep.
Other news, just down the road, Central Florida, the great winless team.
Still serving free beer, that bar.
O'Leary is gone.
Pulled the string on himself, right?
Yeah.
Said, I'm done.
Well, you're done. Looked himself in the mirror, said, you're done.
You're done, George. Okay. attracts definitely some. A coach might be down there, you know, with that, with all the talent down there. Why not give an upstart a shot for sure?
Very solid infrastructure there, solid recruiting base. The facilities are good, up and coming. And as you saw just a couple years ago, you can win there pretty with a decent coach. But also, as quickly as they did rise, they fell just as quickly, just 2 years removed from that 12-1 season. They're winless. And it's not good. They have like the 116th ranked recruiting class in the country. He's basically done no recruiting. I don't understand what's going on down there.
He's done nothing.
You've been asleep at the wheel.
Could we attach their success to one Blake Bortles?
Oh dear. Yes.
Nice game today, Blake. Way to come back after that huge collapse.
Bortles.
It's definitely a job that is worth a look for some people. So we'll see where that goes.
And George O'Leary really gunning for that Notre Dame job again.
Yeah, he wants another shot at that. Yeah,
that'd be awesome if they hired Dante Culpepper.
And Baylor guys losing their starting quarterback Seth Russell to a broken bone in his neck. Details are still a little hush-hush with the severity and timetable to be released at a later date this week.
That's something you do not want to mess around with. Take as much time as you need, Seth. Do not rush anything when it comes to neck and back. Good news is no real paralysis issues, right? It's you're not dealing with that. You never want to work. You know, you don't want to take any risks when it comes to matters of the neck.
Yeah, Baylor. I think they'll have a bye week next week, so they'll have a little bit of time to assess that, but could possibly not be good or what Baylor wants right now.
Nope, and you'll most likely see freshman Jared Stidham come in here, 5-star quarterback, very good dual threat option, was committed to Cliff down the road in Lubbock, but decommitted and ended up at Baylor. So we'll see. And by all accounts, he's extremely good for a freshman and should be able to step in, and we'll see how he does.
Yeah. Good deal. We'll get to some more news notes as the week progresses. We're going to go through some of the games here. I mean, you guys saw the info in the last preview pod. It was yawn. So the weekend was definitely full of definitely some moments, but viewing was limited and the slate wasn't that great, so we're just going to run through what we have here. Thursday, Friday, guys, UCLA looked pretty good against Cal. Temple pulled out against ECU, and Memphis-Tulsa was a shootout. I watched a decent amount of all three of those games. Didn't really take much away, except Temple's okay. UCLA got it back. Cal kind of struggled, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Memphis can score. They got that offense going.
But they didn't play that well, per Justin Fuente.
Per Fuente, he expects more out of Paxton Lynch and company.
Maybe 166 next week.
Memphis 7-0. Temple 7-0. The AAC taking over.
Yeah, to tie this back to the US or UCF piece, this they're creating some cachet. The old Big East. Keeping that an attractive destination for some of the lower level coaches.
Absolutely. Ken, anything from those games you saw?
Temple, you saw the fortitude there, and great job by Matt Roll rallying his troops, and they were down for most of that game and still had the ability to come back, mental strength to come back, score a touchdown, and then get that big special teams block punt. And turned it around into a touchdown quickly and jumped out down 14-10 and quickly jumped to 24-14 lead and cruised to victory there, setting up a program-defining game here. ABC primetime coming up. We'll get to that soon enough against one of our teams. Temple already has a victory over one of our teams, looking for another now. And we'll see how it goes. But Matt Rule, you see there's rumblings of Temple trying to get some funds together for a $35,000 seat on-campus stadium. It looks like they're in it for the long haul. They're trying to get Matt Rule to stay, and we'll see if he bites at one of these bigger jobs that opened up. But looks like Temple's really putting their best foot forward, trying to improve their program.
Yeah, big week coming up. I know Temple's been definitely been lobbying for game day too, but word is they're sleeping on it for another night. So
yeah, still no word. Still no word.
We'll find out that tomorrow. So by the time you listen to this, we will know where game day is. But for now, in the dark.
That would be something.
Hey. around the country, I think the one game we did hit a little more in depth was that A&M Ole Miss game. And I'll be honest, I did not see one play this game. But if you told me A&M was going to score 3 points, I would say that's not good. And some tension down there in College Station now after a very underwhelming performance against the Rebels. How can?
Yeah, and things are not looking good right now for someone, some hot water, and there's video out of him allegedly stumbling around drunk, so things could get a little hotter there. He's recruited extremely well, someone has, and he's got pieces there, but really, all in all, a terrible, terrible offensive performance, something you don't expect from a team like someone's high-powered offense. I think it stems from the quarterback controversy that he created himself and not settling on one quarterback. I think you got Kyler Murray now upset. He's reportedly in the doghouse, and you know Kyle Allen doesn't have the full confidence that he should have with having to split time now. So now you've got really an issue here where you've got two very talented quarterbacks, but neither of them have very much confidence. Well, at least one of them is very unhappy, and you've got a lot of turmoil in this program right now, and it's not good. It's not good.
I was reading an article from the Houston Chronicle today about that situation with Sumlin and Kyler Murray and Kyler Murray's dad Kevin about some kind of promises that were made as far as playing time, and I guess Kyler Murray after that Alabama game, things went a little downhill. Murray was told he wasn't going to play this upcoming weekend. I don't think he did get in.
No, I don't think he did.
And but he was told he's going to travel, he's going to dress, stay on the sidelines, support the team. And there's just a mess there. I hear players in the locker room are divided, some behind Allen, some behind Murray. Someone's got to reel this in, and he's just getting loaded. I guess he's got to clear his mind a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully they can get it sorted out for their sakes, but someone definitely looks like he's got to corral this situation before it gets any worse. It's starting to inch towards that way, and it's a slippery slope.
Oh, I did see here, when they did take Allen out, sophomore Jake Hubenak, 6'11", so that is very interesting.
Yeah. Not a good situation, it seems.
I read something about the receivers coach is terrible.
I saw that.
I mean, they got Reynolds, Seals Jones, and Kirk, Speedy Noyle. I mean,
it's apparently the receiving, the coaching is not, things are not going well right now. It's very poor routes on their parts, and it really they're only getting open on their natural athletic talent.
Does not sound good.
What a roller coaster for Ole Miss to flip the other side real quick in October.
Yeah. Right, they've been
dismantled by Florida, dismantled New Mexico State, beaten pretty handily by Memphis, and then you go and wax Texas A&M.
It's going to be an interesting. They control their own destiny right now, and I'm telling you, those people up in Birmingham, the SEC offices, they're not happy. They are secretly very much betting against, hoping that Ole Miss loses, because that's basically the only situation where an SEC team wouldn't make it in, right? Is if Ole Miss won it.
Right, yeah. Well, as it stands right now.
Ole Miss at Auburn, home Arkansas, home LSU at Mississippi State. I mean, they could do it. They could also lose three of those games.
Yeah, yeah. And not I mean, but it's not out of the...
Oh, no, definitely not. That would be very funny if Ole Miss won the SEC.
Yep.
I'm still...
I just
want
to see Greg Sankey in Stark Vegas with a cowbell as a 9-2 Ole Miss team playing Mississippi State. That'd be hilarious. That would be pretty funny. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
See what happens on there. A few boat races to go over here. Actually, I'm not going to go over. I'm just going to say Ohio State, boat race, Rutgers.
Pandemonium in Piscataway.
That's enough of that. Clemson, which is... Oh, jeez. Kansas lost again. Houston led to O'Leary's. Some fun games, though, guys. Two 4 OT games. Duke over Vautech and Arkansas over Auburn.
Arkansas. Good win. Good win for Burke, so he was very happy about it. And is Auburn in full tire fire mode now?
We'll... Just so we think they are, they're going to beat Ole Miss next week. So.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I'm just going to pick Auburn just because it makes none sense. LSU, well, this is terrible. I'm so far in the loop, I don't even know how many yards Fournette ran for yesterday.
I think he got
150. Pretty, let's see.
Yeah.
Did not break the record per my prediction a few weeks ago.
No.
Did not get enough offense.
That Western Kentucky team is secretly good, right?
Secretly decent, I would say.
Secretly decent, not good, but halfway decent.
They would definitely score 45 against Pitt in a bowl game.
Oh, man.
Baylor got by Super Bowl Richardson. We talked about Russell going out. So we'll see what's up for Baylor next. USC, guys. The men of Troy upend the U's.
Yeah, and I saw neat stat that this was the first time, I think, or the biggest margin. Maybe the first time or the biggest margin, I forget. No, I think it was the first time an unranked team was a favorite over a top three team. It was actually by a healthy margin. What'd the line end up at?
They got close to three, I saw.
Oh. I think it got up a little higher than that, and then, okay, ended up closing
it
at did. Three.
It came back down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But interesting that many people had that much confidence in USC, especially with in a team like Utah, that usually the style they play is pretty conducive towards winning on the road in hostile environments. They run the ball, they're controlling defense and trying to control that play clock. But you see, after they get knocked off the rails a little bit, it's hard for them to catch up.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not sure why I didn't lock them up. I mean, in my college pick'em pool, I had a USC at 10 confidence this week.
Very, very high.
Pitt was at 9, though.
Pitt was at 9. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, so it was like 1-1A for me.
I'll get into the lab here later and try and diagnose what went wrong.
I mean, Ronald Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster, they had pick six there as well. USC, I saw they're fourth in ESPN's FPI. The Trojans.
They've lost the three games.
yeah, so I'm not sure really what that means. The top three are Baylor, TCU, and Oklahoma, so that's whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Michigan State blew out Indiana in the fourth quarter to make this double up 52-26. Alabama 19-14 over Tennessee, who's also very high in FPI.
That is baffling to me.
Didn't see much of that. And the last game I really even want to mention, oh my gosh, another crazy ending, guys.
Oh, wait, Ken, dear.
Did you see this one?
No, I don't believe I did.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
I did not see it live.
Georgia Tech, 78-yard, blocked field goal return as time expires to beat Ev. The Noles go down.
Fantastic call. Who was it that was on the call that made the what a time to be alive call?
That sounds like something Carter Blackburn would say.
Oh my gosh. That was a good, great call. I love the call. And what's his face? Oh, Paul Johnson. How fantastic was he after the game with that the face he made? It was gross. Oh,
yeah. Gross.
I was saying Georgia Tech's gonna get together. They didn't really get together. They scored one off of a touchdown.
Right.
So yeah. Pretty ugly game. And Fisher finally blew up on your good friend Ever Golson.
Yeah, although that pick, I don't know if it was all his fault in that end zone there.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I didn't watch the whole game. I'm sure you scored 16 points. I'm sure you did not do much right that game.
Yeah, not good.
Not.
Pretty ugly game.
Yeah, and I did Washington, went down to Stanford. That was the one game I kind of watched last night. And all I took from that was Christian McCaffrey gets the ball a lot. And he is their offense, and he's very good. So, stop number five for the Cardinal. He is good. That's what I got. That's all I got for this week, guys. Any other games you want to go over before we get to yours? I've got nothing. Weaker slate. Unbelievably weaker slate than that coming up next week. So, you know the old adage.
Yes.
Well, we were, you know the old adage. We were tailgating around like 3:15, and I noticed that my buddy Rance just said Pitt had won, and Deberg walks over immediately as that happened out of nowhere, and just said the 9-minute meat grinder, something along those lines.
I think that was exactly what I said.
A 9-minute drive. So Dan, Pitt with the W.
Unfortunately, I've yet to view this game, so I don't have too many takeaways except for what I've seen through the highlights, and I mentioned in my my introduction today, just the stones on Narduzzi. On 4th and, I believe it was 4th and 7, near midfield, Narduzzi calls a fake punt mid-drive, and I was reading his comments after the game, and he was basically trying to sell it himself by not even watching the play and pretending like he was upset they didn't get the first down on third down. So a little sleight of hand from the young ball coach. And then
the Pitt, young ball coach.
Pitt proceeded to march again. It was 19 plays, 9 minutes and 20 seconds. Another 10 plays, it looks like, down. And Chris Blewett got the 25-yard field goal as time expired. He did not blow it. A couple other takeaways from the game.
So the 9-minute drive didn't even result in a touchdown.
Did not. Probably could have punched it in, but at that point, he clearly watched tape of Pitt Cincinnati 2009. Rather than punch it in, he opted to just run the time down and kick the field goal.
Sure.
And that was another theme for me. I was just about to say, time of possession, Pitt with the ball for 13 minutes longer than Syracuse. Syracuse sporting a little bit of a quick strike offense. I think really the only time Pitt stopped them was on the two turnovers in the fourth quarter. They were kind of marching the ball a little bit. No sacks on quarterback Eric Dungy. Great name. And just another balanced attack. 427 total yards for Pitt. Penalties were a little bit up there, but nothing eye-popping. I think they survived just another. It was definitely a trap game. I mean, who wants to go up to Syracuse, period, let alone when you have a fringe top 25 team coming to town on a short week. Take the win. It was definitely not pretty. Sorry, AY, your luck. They let you down. But on to North Carolina, Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Big one. Secretly decent North Carolina.
Definitely. Well, I've always thought they were just
SDNC and SDP.
Oh boy.
So much secret decency.
Possible look ahead spot for the Panthers.
Oh no, that's just I don't foresee. But you could definitely, we'll get into it earlier on in the week, or later on in the week, I guess. You could definitely see another pitting in this one based on the way they've been playing the last couple games, but we shall see.
Well, good deal. A win's a win, Dan.
Yep. One is a win is a win.
Speaking of wins, Ken got the dub yesterday.
Got the dub. Did not cover. Penn State 6.5 favorites. Ended up only winning 31-30. I have watched this game again. And the more I watch it, the more I came away impressed with Hackenberg. A lot of those deep throws.
Shocker.
And a lot of those deep throws, this is what they were giving them. They were playing a lot of cover zero, a lot of cover one in their man, loading up 8-9 people in the box, which they're selling out to stop Barkley, which worked. Barkley held in check for about 60-something yards. But Hackenberg definitely did take advantage with a lot of those deep balls, and this is what I felt like he should have been doing for most of this year, and what he started to do a lot more in the last couple weeks is throw the ball up there and let those receivers, fantastic athletes, go up and make a play. Even if they're not completely open, I know a lot of them have great ball skills. Geno Lewis, especially known for making the hard catches look easy and the easy catches look hard, came up with a big touchdown there and their final touchdown of the game. All throughout the day, I think at one point Barkley was averaging like 40 yards per completion. He was like 3 for 9 for like 120 yards or something like that. And all he was doing was chucking it up deep. But then again, a lot of there were a couple of throws later on in that second half where he was fitting the ball in some real tight spaces, and you could see the arm talent. As has been mentioned before, we'll see if he continues to improve and if Penn State can get to looking halfway decent on offense by the end of the year, because this is probably going to be the last year of Hackenberg's career. And it's been a strange marriage as far as offensive scheme with Hackenberg. From last time, we'll see Penn State have a drop-back pro-style quarterback for a while. This is not what they're looking for, but Hackenberg, taking what the defense gave him, made a lot of plays, enough plays to win the game yesterday, and a very hectic fourth quarter. You saw exchanging of several turnovers there at the end. Penn State's defense for the second straight week, trouble with a mobile quarterback, and a lot of tackling issues. I noticed a lot of missed tackles, some from the hard-hitting safety and several plays where Perry Hills, to his credit, was able to kind of squirt out of the pile there with several Lions in seemingly good position to make a play, but just couldn't wrap them up for some reason, and him squirting out. He had over 100 yards rushing, I believe, and actually had a very decent game throwing the ball. We were seeing it sometime in the fourth quarter. He was 15 for 20, but of course had the costly interceptions. Maryland did not take advantage of Penn State's a good field position and opportunities in the red zone, having to settle for field goals there in the first half. They were doubling up Penn State at one point in yardage, and could not take advantage of it. They had an opportunity when they went up 13-10. It could have been a lot worse. And the credit goes to Penn State's defense as well for holding them, bending but not breaking. They were up against it as far as field position all day, or at least for the first half. Penn State repeatedly starting inside their own 20, and Maryland getting the ball near midfield every time. Penn State, as you saw, big plays. Hackenberg ended up going for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Broke Zach Mills' passing yardage career mark and completions career mark. So congratulations to him. And we'll see if Penn State continues to make strides. I think they end up matching up better with the next few opponents that they have the last two. With mobile quarterbacks, it seems that those have been giving them the most trouble. When you go the Thorson kid at Northwestern seems to throw the ball or run the ball a little more, but other than that, Rudock, Cook, and then Lunt seem to be more prototypical passers. And I do anticipate Penn State to have a little more success, at least defensively, against those teams. Of course, those are also teams with better defenses than the ones that Penn State has been playing. Overall, it was a good win in, I wouldn't say a hostile environment. I think the crowd was closer to 50-50, as many had expected. But this is a Maryland team that was going to come out fired up for the first game after Edsel's dismissal, and they were coming off a bye week. They were going to throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, they view Penn State in a very nasty, negative light. they come out fired up. A lot of the players from Penn State's team was from that area. So well, you got a little rivalry there. And they came out with basically nothing to lose. It's a tough, tough game. And I do like what I saw at Penn State, taking what they could get and doing what was necessary for a victory. It was a good win. And not the best, but I like what I saw. It was an exciting game. So good for Penn State winning the game. And they are bowl eligible now. 6-2. Going bowling. Going bowling.
Gone bowling.
Unbelievable.
Good deal. I would say usually this is where we do the guy you can't blame, but I don't know. I didn't watch anything, so I don't know. But if I had to pick one, guys, I know I'm putting on the spot here. Give me Perry Hills. He ran the ball great. Yeah, 3 picks, but that's on the coaches. He stinks with throwing. Don't let him throw it.
Just he cannot run throw.
The guy runs upright, but he's slippery. So
he's a slippery fellow.
He held him. He kept him in there. Yeah, he turned.
It reminded me a little bit of Kaepernick the way he runs the ball, upright.
A young Kaepernick.
Spitting images.
Looks Egyptian too, right?
I don't know if you guys have anyone in mind.
Pride of Central Catholic. You cannot blame. I have no one that I can't blame. I'm sorry.
I got one. Tajay Sharp, wide receiver from UMass. 12 catches, 159 yards, 2 touchdowns in a losing effort to the Rockets.
Who might have just scored again somehow. Good stuff, guys. Week's late, Another one coming up, but we'll make do. We're on action, so we got some previews to do for sure. Dan's on a short week. Yes. He's got anything else for tonight?
Locks of the Week contest. Michael Patterson, the blind squirrel found a nut as Washington State won outright in Arizona. I was the lone winner with Vandy, and we now trail in the standings 50% to 33%. Let's get it together, guys. Stretch run here.
Jeez. Oh, well, I was hoping you forgot about that, but you didn't. I already got my lock for the week. I'm ready to go.
Picking it on a Sunday.
Yep, I'm picking it on. I picked it, I think, last Tuesday.
Oh, I know who it is.
You might know where I'm going with it, but
I know who it is.
We'll save it.
Okay.
That's what I got for you guys tonight. That's it. I'm out. I'm done. My voice is done. Ken, you got anything else you want to say?
I don't have anything else.
Good deal. I got this ruckus downstairs, a bunch of party animals playing Settlers of Catan.
Settlers!
So I need to go tell them to shush up so I can watch some shows. But that's all I got. So for me here, AY, in the beautiful state capital, Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, and for D-Berg out west.
Night all.
In Kanzu, New York City.
Have a good night and rest in peace, Flip Saunders.
Oh, yes.
You will be missed.
Yes, and thanks for listening, guys. Tell your friends, and have a good one.